Last Sunday morning, I mentioned that some grandchildren were puny. And one who was watching online said, "Hey, Mom, what's he mean we're puny?" So it is the season of puniness. And I don't know if that's a word or not. Several are not well, not able to be with us, but you are. And we're delighted that you've chosen to come and share today. Friday, a mentor of mine at age 93 was buried. Paul Earnhardt talked about Mary more than any preacher I ever heard. And he put me onto some ideas about what was going on in that young maiden's life when the Lord appeared to her. And then recently at McCandless Hall, I was listening to a group of entertainers singing, and one older lady sang, "Mary, Did You Know?" I'm sure I've heard that song before. Kenny Rogers recorded it a long time ago, and everybody else has sung it since. But that night, it just hit me. It just pierced through. I thought there were so many truths in that song written by a couple of gentlemen. And then I'm sure I'd sung that song by Charlie Couchman before, but man, that's excellent. We need to get that in some kind of a book somewhere and think about the profound nature of what this young woman was being told and what was being asked of her and what was being asked of Joseph in bringing the Son of God into this world. Mary, Did You Know? Written by Mark Lowry and Buddy Green in 1991. I want you to look with me in Luke 2 and verse 19. "And she treasured all these things, pondering them." Ponder will come up twice there. Pondering them in our heart. If you go to Luke 2, you're going to be good for this message this morning in Luke chapter 2. Pondering in her heart, treasuring these things up, all the things that were happening, all the things that were being said to her, all of the consequences that she and Joseph were going to have to bear. Would you just allow me to walk through a little bit of that with you as we look at Mary? And I'm going to suggest to you, she probably didn't look like that right after the baby was born. And he probably didn't look nearly that fair-skinned either. And so as we think about what God had promised in a child-born king, God had promised that a ruler would come out of Judah, and he'd be born in that little Bethlehem down in Judah, that one in Ephrathah. Did it just get dark in here, or did I say something? Okay, I may have to pull my glasses out now, but anyway. So, oh, there it is. "And there was light." I've heard of that too. And so, in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who's to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. The one who is the eternal, self-existent one." And then when we were in Hungary and trying to help our children think about this one who would be the child that would be born, "To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the government would be upon his shoulders, and he would rule the nations." Isaiah spoke so much about this coming Prince of Peace. And then as we near the end of the Old Testament message, the very last two verses that Malachi records speaks of a messenger who would come in the spirit and power of Elijah. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. I think it was Resolutions for Men. You know, the Kendrick brothers who did Courageous. That's the way they start the resolutions, that there was going to be a time when children would turn their hearts to their dads and fathers would turn their hearts to their children. Because if that doesn't happen, for sure, whatever culture, whatever civilization exists is going to experience destruction. So the key of the father turning his heart to his children. And then there's this old man who's a priest, and he walks in, and Gabriel tells him, you and Elizabeth are going to have a son. He said, mm-hmm. And how am I supposed to know this? Doesn't seem to be very believing in what Gabriel's told him. So you're not going to be able to talk until the boy's born. By the way, his name is John. And he's going to be the one who's going to come, and he's going to prepare the way for the Messiah. And then this aged mother, Elizabeth, never been able to have a child, has the disgrace of being barren as a woman, is now pregnant, and she's going to go into seclusion, Luke tells us, for at least 6 months. But in that 6 months, somebody else is going to get news, and that's a young virgin that you're going to have a child, and he is going to be Emmanuel, which is God with us. And she's got a lot to consider too. And I thought about, you know, we never read about their mom. We never read about Jacob, or we never read about Mary's mom. I wonder what this young woman was thinking. I need to go talk to an older woman. And she goes to talk to a relative, Elizabeth, who's also expecting for the first time in her life. And they're kind of just kind of hiding out in seclusion down there. And this angel has come, Gabriel, to tell Mary that you're going to have a baby, and this baby's going to be the Son of God. And there's no way, I'm a virgin, this can't happen, this is not natural. This can't happen in the natural course of things, as we learn in chapter 1. So Elizabeth, when Mary shows up, she's filled with the Holy Spirit, and so is the baby. And then Elizabeth starts talking about what an honor, what a praise it is for the mother of my Savior to come and visit me. And then a couple of weeks ago, we looked at that magnificent song that Mary breaks out into as the Spirit is leading her to talk about God coming to rescue His people. It's a Hannah song that brought Samuel into it. It's a rescue song. It's a magnificent song of the greatness of God. And she's just singing that. And then I think Bradley led the Magnificat a couple of weeks ago. As we sing God's songs after Him. And so we got these shepherds. These shepherds are going to come, and they're going to be the ones that God would choose to reveal this glorious message. These humble shepherds saw God's shepherd king, the anointed, the Messiah, and their privilege to go and find the barn, find the baby. Interestingly, swaddling clothes was in one of the songs we sang. Do you know what swaddling clothes are? You know, most newer translations just say cloths. Swaddling clothes is what a woman would have around her waist, because you never know what you might need. It was before paper towels. And these swaddling clothes are so that, what am I going to wrap the baby in? Well, I've got this extra clothes that I wrap around my waist, and that's what the baby's wrapped in. And so these shepherds go and they testify to what they've seen and they've heard. Do we? We've seen some things. We've heard some things. We've said that Jesus is the newborn King. We've had the hark of the angels to proclaim that. Do we share it? These, what we call lowly shepherds on the hillside, they go tell what they've seen and heard. Let's do the same thing. This week, let's do the same thing. And then the question comes, Mary, did you know? And all of us are just kind of curious, what did she know and what did she not know? And we can speculate on a lot of things, which is generally going to deteriorate. But she did know some things. She knew she was a virgin. Don't let that slip by you. She knew she was a virgin. God chose her as a virgin. God had said 700 years in advance, a virgin will be with child. Didn't simply say a young maiden. He was specific about what he said. A virgin is going to have a child. There's a lot more in Isaiah 7 and in Isaiah chapter 8 and 9 in regard to all that. But the people knew the prophecy. She knew she was a virgin. And she knew that that was going to cost her. This is where Paul Earnhardt just blew me away. I never thought about what all the costs were to her to go ahead and bear this child through conception by the Holy Spirit, because it's going to cost her the shame of what appears to be sexual immorality. It doesn't just look like that to her mama. It looks like that to her betrothed. And in order to end the relationship, there had to be a divorce. Don't miss the send her away part. And yet God is going to tell Joseph, no. She's not been sexually immoral. Sexual immorality is a sin. Whether or not a child is conceived as a result. And every aspect of sexual immorality is sinful, whether children are conceived or not. God condemns all forms of it. But forgiveness is abundantly offered, but consequences remain. Jesus had people, as an adult, throw his birth up to him. In John chapter 8 and verse 41, when he's talking about, you guys are of your father, the devil. We weren't born of fornication. Hint, hint. What we've heard from the people back up in Nazareth is, you're an illegitimate child. Who are you to talk to us about fathers and sons? You see, he's going to live with that all of his life, with what people thought was his conception. Jesus experienced that kind of challenge. And Mary's going to know that this is going to cost Joseph. Joseph is a righteous man. Matthew's very clear about that. He's highly respected in the community. But now, what's he going to do? Is he going to marry her? Is he going to put her away? What choices is he going to make as a righteous man? He's going to lose some reputation. His character's intact, but his reputation is damaged. And they're not going to be congratulated by the community for what appeared to be sexual immoral relationship. Nobody's going to be applauding. Yet because they were righteous, they bore the consequences and brought an innocent child into this world to be the Savior of all of us. Mary did know what the angel had told her and what the shepherds had shared, and she pondered them in her heart. There's going to be more news that's coming, as Jared has read from Simeon after the birth. This peasant son, they have nothing. They can only offer two little birds because they don't have things. They don't have stuff. And yet God chose to entrust this poor couple with the care of his only begotten son. And so the shepherds just fascinated, amazed, and Mary's having to think about all of what it's costing her and Joseph. And then we see the amazement of what Simeon has to say. He's looking for the consolation of Israel. He's been told he's not going to die until he sees it. And then when Mary comes, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul. Simeon's saying, you're going to be hurt a lot. And I think often through his life. Can you imagine the kind of things she would hear people say about him? Can you imagine how it felt when she stood there at the cross and she heard the jeering, the cursing, the mocking, after she sees her son bloodied, just hanging there like a piece of meat? Can you imagine how much pain that caused in her heart? And can you imagine how hard it was for her to think about, the rest of my kids don't even know who he is. And how can I tell them? But what Mary does is she sets about, along with her righteous husband Joseph, to craft a home where this child grew strong in wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. Even with all of the difficulties, even with all the heartache, all of the apparent shame, she is determined, I'm going to give this son back to his father. Now, some of you are expecting, and I pray that you will give this child back to his father. Crewe and Darcy, about a year old right now, given to precious parents to rear, giving them back to the Father. I want to commend every mother who gives herself and gives her children to God. I had heard an old man say that a woman goes to the point of death when she delivers a child. I didn't get it until Cindy delivered. I didn't get it until my daughters delivered. God bless you, moms. You are heroes to your child and to many others. And even if there were difficult circumstances in the beginning, children can be given to the Lord, to His glory. So I want to share with you just for a minute a story about Linda. Not Mary, but Linda. She was buried yesterday. It was written by her son, Jeremy. He said as he's flying back from the state of Washington, I've been reflecting on Mom's legacy. She was still alive when he wrote this. God has used her and Dad in incredible ways. Both of my parents came from broken homes where sin, abuse, alcohol, and other addiction was common. When Mom was 5, her father died in a car accident that he caused from drinking. My grandmother met her next husband in a bar, who has fought with drunkenness for most of his life. The public face of their family rarely matched what was happening at home. That's often the case. Mom's heart longed for a loving parent she could rely on, one that would not hurt or leave her. She longed for a home that was safe. My grandmother started taking the kids to a local church, and Mom learned about the God of the Bible, and she excitedly placed her hope in Him and in His Son, Jesus. God was the Father she desperately needed. Over the course of her life, she introduced her Heavenly Father to Dad, and he became a Christian when I was an infant. Together, they changed the trajectory of their lives by allowing God, Jesus, and the Spirit to shape our home. Discipleship came at tremendous personal cost because not everyone in their family circles understood or agreed with their changing lives and the boundaries they started developing to pursue holiness and to protect us kids. They believed that God meant for families to be more, better, safer. God filled their home with children, 5 biological kids and 2 adoptions. I know all of them. They introduced all of us to God, Christ, and the gospel principles of grace and mercy and discipleship. Dad started learning how to teach and preach the gospel so others could belong to the family of God. They made selfless sacrifices so Mom could stay home to raise all of us. Dad would work 2 or more jobs to make it possible, all without complaint. Together they have embodied the servant leadership of Jesus and the submission of the church. They continue to do that to the best of their ability with the mercy and strength of Jesus. Even though the trial of Mom's health heart issues, I'll say. They have had the joy of beginning to see their grandchildren place their faith in God and Jesus. All because my mom sought a father, and my dad had an honest heart open to truth. And only God knows what the final tally in heaven will be from the devoted heart of a hurting little girl who found him. Tonight I'm writing this on the final flight back to Kentucky to be with mom and my family. Despite growing weaker, my mom has been having sweet conversations with her loved ones about their Heavenly Father. My mom's sister decided she wanted to make sure God was her father too. And so as hospice was evaluating mom, I flew out to, my mistake, Oregon to baptize my aunt. A friend held up a phone so my mom could watch as her sister put on Christ. As mom's race concludes, God blessed her with the joy of knowing that she and her sister share the same Heavenly Father. Jeremy DeHutt. So Mary, did you know? Did you know what was going to happen? Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea and got into the boat and started to cross the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. And when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, if you were reading that in the Greek, it would be, I am. It is I. Do not be afraid. Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday save our sons and daughters? Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Mary, did you know? There were a lot of things that Mary did know. She had been told. But I wonder how it felt that day in John chapter 7 when she and the boys are together. When in Mark, is it Mark chapter 2, Mark chapter 3, Jerry, you talked about that. When they would come and try to rescue Jesus because they think he's losing his mind. And then when your brothers say, oh, just go on up to Jerusalem. If you're really the Son of God, just go up and show everybody who you are. Because they did not believe in him. Can you imagine the pain in that mother's heart when these other sons and daughters, there were at least 6 other kids, you know, from Mark 6, didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Nowhere in Scripture is Mary portrayed as sinless. I know there are folks who teach that, but you're not going to find it in the Scriptures. She's portrayed in the Scriptures as an obedient, humble servant. And Mary, like every other human being who lives long enough to disobey the commands of God, needed the sacrifice of the sinless Son of God. And so the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sins of the world came to take away her sins too. Wow, to think about this infant who's going to rescue me from my sins. Did she know? She's pondering things in her heart. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind? Did you know he's going to be able to do that? I think maybe she did. John 9 is that amazing story about the man who's never seen, and Jesus brings him sight. But you see, if Mary had the privilege, and many women didn't, if Mary had the privilege to be in the synagogue of Nazareth and they were reading Isaiah 35, she would have known that the Messiah would bring sight to the blind, that lepers would be cleansed, that deaf people would hear, that the dead would be raised up, and that the poor in spirit would have the gospel preached to them. She would have known that. when the angel announced that you will have a son who is Emmanuel. Because the prophets had foretold that that would happen. And so, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm? The lyrics say with his hand, I think it's to help it rhyme. It was actually with his voice. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling, but he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care? We're perishing." And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be calm, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. These guys don't know who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him. I wonder if they came back to Nazareth to tell Mary about that event. Did you know that your baby boy have walked where angels trod? That before he came flesh, he was the God who spoke the stars into existence. She's looking at this little baby. He's already spoken the universe into existence. He has walked with angels. And he's for a little while become lower than the angels to suffer death so that we could be his. And he could defeat Satan and sin. And when you kiss your little baby, you're kissing the very face of God. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they'll call his name." This is God. Did you know that? Yeah, she did. Still had to be amazing, awesome for her to contemplate that. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the creator God. He made it all. And then in that next line, "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations?" Hasn't he always ruled the nations? Hasn't the Most High always been ruler of the nations? But in a very special way, he would come to rule the nations, and he would crush those who were his enemies. In Psalm 2, "Ask of me," the psalmist says, "and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned. O rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Give homage." Several translations are going to say, "kiss the king." The idea is getting down on your knees or on your face and doing homage to a king. If you don't respond to the king favorably, you're going to perish in his wrath. Blessed are those who take refuge in him. Mary, did you know? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? That sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. You know, Gwen made the point that you got to believe. And that's exactly what Jesus says about himself in John 8 and verse 24. "Except you believe that I am, you'll die in your sins." He's going to say the same thing in verse 28, and I think the same thing in verse 58. Three times in that chapter, he's going to say, "I am the eternal self-existent one." The same phrase that was used for Moses at the burning bush, "That's who I am. I have always existed and will always exist. I am." Mary, did you know this Lamb of God would take away your sins? Mary, did you know? You know, we may not know what all Mary knew, but we now know who this virgin-born King of creation is. The great I am, who is the eternal, self-existent one, the King of creation. He is, or is he, King of my life? Is Jesus your king? Will we bow down to Him as the absolute ruler and master of our life? Mary did. There are some things Mary knew that hopefully you now know. So it might be appropriate for us then to bow down and to sing His praise. If you've not yet come into a relationship with Christ, we don't want to leave you without knowing what He said. He says, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you don't believe, you'll be condemned. Those are Jesus' words. We want to draw your attention to who Jesus is and focus on Him even now as we stand and sing.